Tonight is the eve before Christmas. And like every other evening, we can look outside and we notice that the sun has set and darkness has come upon the land. But unlike every other evening, this particular darkness is penetrated by the light that comes on Christmas morning. The Gospel of John, that last reading that we just had, gives us a wonderful picture of light and darkness. The fifth verse, in fact, reads, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." It's wonderful language. It's great language. But we ask, what exactly is John talking about here? It sounds great, but what does he mean when he says the darkness has not overcome it? What is this darkness that he speaks of? As we go through the text, as we go through the scriptures, there are at least two senses of darkness that he is referring to here. One would be the darkness of understanding. The darkness of understanding. Before Jesus came, we learn from the writer of the book of Hebrews that God spoke to the forefathers in many and various ways, but he spoke to them through prophets. And as you go through the book of Hebrews, you also hear that he spoke to them through types and shadows that were always pointing forward to God's ultimate revelation of who he is, about his character and his concern and compassion for his people, and how he was going to accomplish a redeeming of those people. But they're always spoken of as types and shadows, never fully revealed, never fully understood until Christmas Day and Christ came into the world, and all of a sudden the light penetrated that darkness of our understanding because Christ himself is God. Whereas the writer of Hebrews says in many times and in many ways God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets, he goes on to say, but now in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. That his Son is the radiance of God's glory and exact representation of his being. God came into the world in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we might see him in person. There would no longer be this types and shadows revealing himself to us, but now he would come literally that we might know him in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I was in the seventh grade, I remember taking a trip to see the Rocky Mountains for the very first time. I was on a sleeper bus full of junior high kids, and the trip was from Norman, Oklahoma to Breckenridge, Colorado. And the whole idea was to sleep on the bus all the way through till you got to the slopes so you'd be ready to ski that next morning. And as you can imagine what it's like being on a bus with a bunch of junior high students, we slept a little bit off and on, but not really that much. However, I did fall asleep and drifted off, and when I woke up, it was still early in the morning, the sun had not yet come up, and we were just approaching the foothills of the Rockies. Now, to a boy who's from Norman, Oklahoma, and the biggest hill he's seen is the curb, that was pretty impressive. Just to see this dark silhouette of the foothills of the Rockies was really quite something to see. But I faded back off to sleep and woke up, a little while later, and we were approaching the Continental Divide, and by this time the sun had risen all the way up in the sky, and I remember looking out the window and just literally being floored, my jaw dropping open, seeing the mountains in their full majesty and beauty with the sun shining off of the snow, just jutting up out of the ground. I never knew such beauty existed. I mean, it was breathtaking. It was amazing to this boy from the flatlands of Oklahoma. Christmas morning is meant to be that kind of breaking through of the darkness. Whereas I once saw only the silhouette of the foothills tempting me or hinting at what the majesty of the mountains held, it wasn't until the light of day that I beheld them in their full glory. Christmas morning is the penetration of the darkness of understanding that we might behold God in his full glory. Now, all of us long to see God. Maybe you don't know it. Maybe you're not aware of it. But every time we attempt to satisfy that nagging discontentment that we're all aware of, we're really ultimately longing and trying and attempting to see God. And if we continue to look to satisfy that longing in any other place than in the sun that he has given, the light of the world, then we're still living in the darkness of understanding. Christmas morning came that darkness of understanding would be wiped away, that we might behold God as he is in full glory. But that's not the only kind of darkness that's referenced here. There's also a darkness of judgment. When Christ came into the world, he was born into a nation that no longer really existed. Israel had been exiled some centuries before, and now in the land of Israel, they lived under the oppressive rule of the Roman government. The exile, when it had come upon them and cast them out of their land into foreign lands, came as a result of Israel's own rejection of God as their God, as the one who could care for them and give them the promised life that he wanted and desired to give them. But because they rejected him, he sent them away. He cast them into exile. It was a picture of him casting them away from his very presence. It was a picture of judgment. When Christ was born into the world, into this state of what Israel was in, he was born into a state of judgment. He was born into the darkness of judgment. He came for the very purpose of being born in a low condition, in a manger, to an unwed teenage mother, a poor family, who was forced to flee even from their own country by going into Egypt when Herod was trying to kill all of those babies and rid the world of him. Was raised in such a way as a poor man, came into the ministry, always suffering, never having a place to lay his head, and ultimately experienced the height of judgment by dying upon a cross, experiencing the full brunt of God's wrath as he poured out upon him. And once again, darkness came over the land. So there's two kinds of darkness that John refers to that is broken through by the light, the darkness of understanding and the darkness of judgment. Tomorrow is Christmas morning. It is the morning that reminds us that light has come to break through this darkness so that we could know God personally and so that we could have the judgment that is due us because we have also broken God's law and rejected him as God to be restored. John goes on to write, which was read to us earlier in this same chapter, chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Christmas morning is about the morning that he gave those the right to become children of God because the darkness of understanding and the darkness of judgment has been broken through by the light. As you think about Christmas tonight, as you prepare for it, and as you think about it tomorrow morning, I want you to think about that light that came to penetrate the darkness so that you would know forever the God who came to save you. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for this reminder that you came to penetrate the darkness of understanding so that we might no longer need to know you through types and shadows only, but that we might be able to know you face to face through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to reveal you in all of your glory as he demonstrated the depth of your love for us by taking our place upon the cross, casting aside the darkness of judgment, taking it upon himself so that we might live fully in your light of your love. Father, we ask that you would help us to receive him as our Lord, to receive him as our God, the one who took upon himself our punishment, our darkness, and gave us new life. Would you help us to receive that now in Jesus' name? Amen.